Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to read three verses together. I was going to read several more, but time is kind of getting away from us. And if you give me a good hearing, I think I could help you this morning. I want to help you this morning. And some things that helped me this week as well. But Acts chapter 4, we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. And why don't we, as we just a moment ago, we read the Bible together, why don't we read verses 31, 32, and 33 together? Acts chapter 4, and we'll read them all together, 31, 32, and 33. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and goodness to us, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now you would work on our hearts, Lord. I pray you'd guide hearts this morning, encourage hearts, Father. And I pray, God, that you'd give me strength as I preach this morning. Fill me with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was about mid-20s when God actually, literally, finally, I should put it that way, got a hold of my heart. It was good to go to camp this week, and I saw God grab a hold of many, many young people's heart. But unfortunately, it was really about 20 years old when God finally just kind of got a hold of my heart, mid-20s, 24 to be exact, and so forth. And when I really got tuned in with him, and I'm going to use the word plug a lot this morning, when I really got plugged in, when I got plugged into the right power source, if you will. If you go ahead and you take a lamp, I was going to use it as an illustration, but if you go ahead and take a lamp and you just set it here, and that's it, it's going to do you no good, right? Because there's one more thing that needs to be done than just setting it there. You got to plug it in, all right? In order for that lamp to go ahead and work effectively, you got to go ahead and plug it in. And in order for us to be the kind of Christians, and if we're going to work effectively for the Lord, we need to be plugged into the right source. We need to be plugged in literally to the Holy Spirit. We need to be plugged in to God. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning, being plugged in to the right power source. I love the church in the book of Acts. There's so much, of course, that we can learn. It's a New Testament church, and how they did things is how we model our church today as far as being a New Testament, local New Testament Baptist church. You know, at this church, you'll see soul winning. At this church, you'll see singleness of mind. They were in one accord. At this church, you see the power of God fall. We'll talk about in just a moment ago. At this church, it just seems like revival was taking place, soul winning was taking place, prayer meetings was taking place, all kinds of great things were taking place. I marvel at how God used the church in the book of Acts. It amazes me at the way God used them for his glory, and I desire that as pastor, I desire that same thing here. You know what, we can see God work, and let me just stop and say this, God is still on the throne. God is not dead this morning, amen? He is still on the throne. The very same power that the disciples and that the church in Acts had, we have access to that same power. Amen? Would you agree to that? Say amen. Okay, we have access to that same power. We have the same Holy Spirit access. We have access to the same God. And you know what? And I desire that kind of power here. I desire souls to be saved here. I desire baptisms to take place here. I desire for men and women to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I desire for God to go ahead and shake Faith Baptist Church and do a great work here. That desire has never changed. When you think about the church in Acts, there, you see 3,000 souls saved at Pentecost. What a day. I wish I was a fly on a tree or wherever it all met. You know, I wish I could have been there, if you will, to experience that. 3,000 souls saved. And then you think about another 5,000 more souls saved on another day. And you think about how the Lord added to the church daily and with spiritual growth and numerical growth, if you will. And the church was marked by powerful miracles and larger-than-life personalities. All because, wasn't because of Peter. It wasn't because of John. It's because of the God they knew. Because they were plugged into the right power source. Because they were plugged into the Holy Spirit of God. Because they were in tune with God and his program for their life. They desired to go ahead and get something started. They desired to see people saved and not die and go to hell. You know, they were plugged into the right power source. Again, that's my desire, Faith Baptist Church. I desire church the way church used to be and not the way that it is now, amen? I'm not looking for a modern, all kinds of techno and all this. And I'm not against technology. We use it to a certain degree and so forth. But you know what? We're not going to go ahead and get a bunch of disco lights or whatever and darken the whole auditorium, whatever. We're not going to get all spooky like that. We're just going to go ahead and be church the way it should be. That's what we're going to be here. We're not going to compromise on preaching. We're not going to compromise on our Bible. We're not going to compromise on standards. We're not going to compromise on the doctrine of the Word of God. I'm not here to see which way the wind blows, and sometimes we got to go against the grain a little bit. I'm here because I want to follow God's biblical plan. You know, every time you follow God's plan, it works out very well in the end. Our church ought to be a church that reaches out to lost souls in our backyard and the whole world. Our church ought to be a church that preaches strong and never wavers and never waters down the message. Our church ought to be a kind of church that has a compassion and love for each other. Ought to have that family atmosphere. I said, and I know the very first day that I walked into this pulpit, I said, I'm going to fight for the spirit here at Faith Baptist Church. You know, we're going to have a family atmosphere. We're going to have a good spirit. You know, I want our church to be a church reaching out to families and teens and adults and children. A church that has a right spirit, which is maintained by us being filled with the Holy Spirit. A church that's always plugged into the Holy Spirit. A church that's always plugged into God's program, His biblical program that He lays out in the Word of God. The church in the book of Acts, they didn't have what we have today. Hey, I'm not against the sound system. But you know what? They didn't have it then. I'm not against air conditioning. Amen and amen. If we had no air conditioning with as soupy as it is out there, I would be soaking wet about now. Thank God for AC. When it's about 20 below zero, we thank God for the heat, don't we? You know, when you look around, and I've sat where you sat. We sat in a few of these up here. Boy, them are comfortable chairs. Amen. You know, the church of the book of Acts, I don't think they had all the things, if you will, all the stuff that we have to make us more comfortable. And but the thing that they had that every New Testament, local New Testament Baptist church needs to have, the thing that they had was power of God. The power of God. I want you to have blessing, but it's going to come by you being plugged into the Holy Spirit. I want you to be blessed individually, but it's going to come to you by you being plugged into the Holy Spirit, into His power source. I want our church to have blessing, but it's always going to come. It's not going to come by this man. I just happen to be God's man whom you elected to be here, and I want to do everything the best I know how to do it God's way. But you know what? It's going to be necessary. It's going to be, if we're going to go ahead and have a church that is blessed, we got to be plugged into the right power source. The church was plugged into three different sources of power, mainly obviously the Holy Spirit, but we're going to see this in just a moment. These sources are exactly what we need to do right. These sources are exactly what we need to stay right and keep doing right until Jesus comes. These sources will help us turn this world upside down for the cause of Jesus Christ. What are these sources? Number one, we need to plug into the power of prayer. You know, in our text, if I had time to read it all, at the very beginning of the chapter, I should say, or if you pick it up in verse number 13, Peter and John were out preaching and so forth, and they were arrested. They were brought before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin did not like the name. They were preaching in the name of Jesus. They didn't like what was going on or the name they were preaching in. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, you know, and they were testifying that we're not going to speak of any other. You know, you let us go. We're just going to go right out there. We're going to go ahead and preach Jesus again. But they really didn't have any grounds to hold them. The Bible says. And then finally they went ahead and let them go. But don't go preach in the name of Jesus. But they knew they were gone. Oh, and then they got back with their company. Peter and John got back to their company. And they were testifying about all that God was doing and so forth. And the Christians that they were with, the church that they were with, they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They were excited. They were overjoyed. Let me just stop and say this. When good happens to another brother, you ought to be excited for him. Amen? You know, sometimes, you know, you got to be careful. You know, Christians that, well, they have that, it's not fair. Come on, that's garbage. You know what? If good happens to another brother and sister in Christ, well, you ought to go up and say, man, God bless you. Amen, I'm excited for you. You know, don't go around with a chip on your shoulder saying, well, you know, I deserve that. Well, not really with that kind of attitude. But anyways, but we need to plug into the power of prayer. And what they did, they were plugging in the power of prayer. Verse number 31. Verse number 31, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, and I read, and when they had prayed, now they're all together now. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. Can you imagine that? Picture yourself here. The place was shaken where they assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word with boldness. You know what? Disciples came back from that meeting with the Sanhedrin and the whole assembly, the whole church came together in prayer, and as they prayed together in one mind, the Holy Spirit moved upon them, filling them with a presence and his power. And God honored the prayers of his people and when they came together as one praying for the common good. But we need to understand the importance of prayer. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a prayer life? Do you have that prayer closet? We all ought to take time to be praying. We ought to be praying for our families. You know, let me just stop and say this. I pray for every single person in my family every day without missing. Every single day. I pray for Kathy, Courtney, Brittany, Cody, and Abby, and even sometimes my dog. But anyways, I'm just kidding. But I pray for my family without fail every single day. We need to have a prayer life. We need to be praying a hedge of protection about our families. We need to pray for each other. You know, instead of, you know, well, so-and-so this, you know, no, we need to pray for each other. When you know of another brother and sister that might have tripped and stumbled, you know, that's not the time to go ahead and kick them down and say, well, you know why you're there? No, that's not the time to do it. Again, that is garbage. You know, as a child of God, you need to be restoring such an one, the Bible says. You need to be praying for their restoration. You know, we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for the families of our church. We need to pray for our country, amen. You know, here's the one time a year we zoom in on the great United States of America, and it is great. But we ought to be praying for our country. You know, let me just stop and say this. We as Christians, we can kind of get tied up with this, if you will. Well, you know, the president this, the president this, you know, I don't like his policies, I don't like that. And listen, you know what? And that may be true, and his policies may not be right or whatever, but you know what? Every single one of us are commanded to pray for the president of the United States, Republican or Democrat. You know what? Let me just stop and say this. If God's people would go ahead and stop bellyaching about what's happening in Washington and pray for them, it would be amazing. It would be amazing what would happen in this country. But, you know, and listen, we see the news, we see this, we see that, and oh, this is happening. You know what? Listen, I'm angry about homosexual marriage. That's not what God designed. Man and woman, amen, and an amen. Well, there should be some amens there. You know, I'm angry about that. You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, and that is not God's definition of marriage, and because of that, we're going to have a hard judgment of God upon this nation. I believe that, and I believe we're seeing it more and more through diseases and all kinds of different things. We see the hardest because they're so open today. We're seeing the hardest of hearts, if you will, in our nation today. But let me just stop and say this. We need to go ahead and be praying for America. We need to go ahead and shake that and grab a hold of the power of God and ask God for his power upon our life. And we need to ask God to help change the heart of America. We need to go ahead and keep the preaching the hot. We need to keep on the soul winning trail. We need to keep on keeping our prayer closet. We need to keep on praying for our country. We need to pray for our world. You know, this is what these people prayed for. You know, they got together, and boy, the place shook. They assembled together, they were in the presence of God, and the power of God fell, and all kinds of great things happened. And let me tell you something, what happened there in the book of Acts can happen today in your prayer life. God honored the prayers of the people. Prayer is the secret to the power of God. You know, we've been given many prayer promises. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Bible also says, and I turn, you can jot them down if you will. We've been given some prayer promises in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I read a couple verses here. Verse number 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, that's pretty good, everyone. Not few or selected people. For every one that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We've been given some prayer, but what a promise. In John chapter 14, and I'll read another wonderful verse on prayer here. John chapter 14, verse number 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I love this, that will I do. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a prayer promise. I'll go ahead and do what he says. If ye ask in my name, I'll do it. Call on me, I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We've been given clear instructions to pray. The Bible says in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. The Bible also says in Matthew chapter 6, and I'll turn back to Matthew there, Matthew chapter 6. We've been given clear instructions to pray in Matthew 6, and I read verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, we've been given clear instructions to pray. There's no reason for any of us not to pray. You know, and we have things that, you know, every single one of us have things and people we can pray for. I said a moment ago, I don't go a day without praying for my family. Not one day without praying for my family. You know, you can pray for your family. You can pray for your country. You ought to be praying for your ministry. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your Sunday school teachers. You know, there's things that we can pray for. We've been given clear instructions to pray. We're commanded to pray. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible says in Ephesians, and I'll read another verse here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're commanded to pray. We may pray, but do we pray like the church in Acts? We resort to prayer. It seems like we resort to prayer when tragedy strikes. Now, I've said it time and time again. You know what? Whenever the bombing in Boston happened, boy, all of a sudden, religion kind of, we want to get religious, don't we? You know, and just one big thing in my mind was September 11th, 2001. I mean, it just seems like the whole country, the whole world, you know, got religious. Oh, we need God. And that's kind of the resort of our praying. We pray, but do we pray fervently? We pray, but do we pray specifically? You ought to pray for your spouse by name. Pray for your children by name. Pray for your pastor by name. Pray for your church families, some of the church families and those that he burdens with your heart. You know, we have a prayer list that we pass out on Wednesday night. We take a few prayer requests on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Well, you ought to jot some of them down and pray to the Lord. Pray specifically. I pray, but not in one accord. That means in agreement with God. We've been taught theology well. We know the doctrine. But oftentimes when it comes to prayer, we're illiterate. We don't pray. If we're going to have God's power, we must pray. We must learn to use the altar. You know, listen, let me just say this. The altar is not for my indulgence, for my benefit, it's for yours. Boy, if God is zooming in on your life right now, if God is working on your heart right now, if you just need to come to the altar and just give him something, or maybe ask for forgiveness, or pray for somebody, or whatever the case may be, boy, you know, you ought to have that prayer time regularly at the altar. You ought to have a place of your own. Maybe it's a den. Maybe it's the woods. I like walking in the woods this time of year. I like just getting away from it all and just walking in the woods this time of year. Just me and God. Shut everything down. We must pray in meeting. You know, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night and altar calls and so forth and other times. When someone comes to the altar, let me just say this. When someone comes to the altar and you know they have a need, you know they're hurting. Boy, you know, use some sensitivity, but you ought to go to that person. Boy, it'd be amazing. You ought to go to that person and say, hey, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? Prayer. You know what? The words of your prayer for somebody else will do so many great things for that individual that's hurting. You know, when you know there's someone hurting, let me just stop and say this. I know it's so easy. Sometimes we can get caught up with saying, I just want you to know I've been praying for you, but let me ask you a question. Have you been? You know, if you tell somebody I've been praying for you, don't forget to do it. Sometimes, and I try to practice this as much as I can. But when I'm with somebody, or if I see somebody and say, boy, I know you've been going through it. I just want you to know I've been praying for you. Hey, and I try to do this. I don't do it every time. I know I don't. But I try, hey, you know what? Let me have a word of prayer with you right now. You know, at least you know the prayer will get done, amen? But let me tell you something. That will encourage that one that is hurting more than ever. Hey, let me ask you a question. You know what? You know why there was so much excitement in the church in the book of Acts? You know what? They got plugged into the power of prayer. Not only were they plugged into the power of prayer, they were plugged into the power of passion. In verse number 32 of our text, verse number 32, get to it here. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. You know what this congregation had? They had love for one another. You know what this congregation had? They were of one heart and one soul. That means, you know, there was a good spirit. Let me tell you something. When there's a good spirit going on, let me tell you something. Then God will move right in and do some great things. There's bickering and there's fighting and fuming and so forth. Let me tell you something. Boy, that's hard on a home and that's hard on a church. You know, I've been around a while and I've visited churches and sometimes you just know, whoa, just something just wasn't right. Good church. King James Bible preaching, but boy, you could almost cut the air with a knife. I pray that never happens here. And it doesn't have to happen here if we go ahead and keep our spirit in tune and stay prayed up and understand that we're all different. Be glad that you're not like me, amen? And you ought to be glad. And let me just say this, I'm glad that I'm not like you. We're all different. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us in many different ways. He made women. He made men. He made, tall. He made short. He made skinny. He made fat. Anyways, I don't want to talk there too long, but he made all of us many shapes and sizes. You know, we are different. You know, maybe someone says doesn't talk quite the way that you want them to talk to you. But that doesn't mean you have to go ahead and talk bad to them. Maybe they said an unkind word. That doesn't mean that you have to be unkind to them. Maybe they did something to go ahead and hurt you, or maybe they didn't return something. They borrowed or whatever, and you go ahead and you'll harbor bitterness and you'll harbor unforgiveness over their heads and so forth. You know, you don't have to be that way. You know, the church of the book of Acts, you go ahead and you study them a little bit. You know, I guarantee you, they were just like you and me. There was all kinds of different cultures there, red and yellow, black and white, all kinds of different nationalities, if you will, there. There are all kinds of different people, but you know what? They were one accord. They were of one mind. They were one heart. And boy, when you're in the same spirit with each other, when you're right this way, let me tell you something. Be amazing. The power of God will fall upon that church. The power of God will fall upon that home. And the power of God will fall upon that individual when you're right this way. Your boy, be right with your spouse. You be right with the people that you mingle with throughout the week and so forth. You go ahead and you stay right and don't have this critical attitude and don't have this attitude where you're better than everybody else. Hey, you know what? There were people of passion. They were plugged into the power of passion. They possessed a servant's heart like Jesus had. They lived out the will of the Savior. They loved one another. In Jesus' ministry, he said in John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Do you understand that one of the greatest ways to show the world that you belong to the King is when you love one another? What Jesus said. When the outside world, if they can see with their eyes that you are genuine, you have a genuine love for each other, it is then that you'll have an easier time to reach them. If you're always fussing and going around critical spirit, critical attitude, and this isn't right, and that's not right, and yeah, and always a grumpy and always upset and so forth, how in the world are we going to reach the lost world for the cause of Christ? Always got this sourpuss face and always got this cloud over our heads and always this isn't right and that's not right, you know, and always criticizing, always negative. You know, let me just, life doesn't have to be that way. You know, you really choose. If you live a negative life, let me just tell you something. God didn't choose it for you. You're choosing it. You know, put a smile on, amen? You know, they say that it's less muscles to smile than frown. Is that true? Anybody, is that true, Brother Joe? You're kind of, huh? I've heard that. You know, it takes less energy, let's put it that way, okay, to smile than frown. You know, it's pretty hard. You know, come on now. You know what? This church was a church that loved one another. Now, I will say this. I appreciate the fact that, as far as I know, we have a church that genuinely loves one another. You know, not perfect people. I understand that. And I know there can be little disagreements, but you know what? All in all, we love one another. And that love, you know what, creates a good spirit. And when there's a good spirit in the church, God does some great things. Love. They had a power of passion. Does the world know that you're a Christian by your love for one another? Are you grumpy? You're screaming at somebody. You know, let me say, you know, if you've got some ill will towards someone, why don't you go deal with it? Why don't you be the big Christian and say, you know what, regardless of what it is, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to go to that person. I'm going to talk to him. And I'm going to forgive him. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, we know it well, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's a pretty tough verse. Tenderhearted? Boy, that's the last thing you think of when someone has hurt you. Tenderhearted to him? Yeah. To her? Preacher, do you understand what she said? Yeah. It's not exactly what I would want it said to me, but tenderhearted. For giving one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's, by the way, that's real Christianity. You go around with a chip, you know, you can go around with a chip on your shoulder all you want about this person, that neighbor, that acquaintance, that family member, whoever. You can go around with a chip on your shoulder all you want, but you know what? You're just going to continue to be miserable. You know, this church, there was excitement. This church here in the book of Acts, there was excitement. Why? Because they prayed. Why? Because they had a passion for people. Love for one another. You know, when I love you as I should, I'll forgive you. When I love you as I should, I'll seek your best interests ahead of mine. That's what love is, by the way. And that's how these people were in the book of Acts. You know what? They'll go, they forgave, okay? When you love as you should, you will forgive one another, as the scripture says, as I said a moment ago. When you love as you should, you put their interests in front of yours. When you love as you should, you will treat them like you should. Boy, revival of love needs to come to the church. I'm talking about God's church. Boy, just like there was a revival of love in this church here, boy, you know what? It needs to stay in this church, and we need to love one another. If you've got ill will towards somebody, let me say this. I don't mean it boastfully. If you think I do, in all due respect, I'm going to say it's not. You're not right. But let me tell you something. To my knowledge, in my sphere of life, in my walk of life, I don't know of any ill will towards anybody. I don't know of anybody. I mean, you know what? I can freely at least talk to anybody, whether they want to talk to me or not, or whatever the case may be. But I have no, to my knowledge, the best I know how, I have no ill will towards anybody. Let me tell you something. It's really a happy way to live. Let me tell you something. There's been people, just like you, there's been people that's hurt me. But you know what? I just chose a long time ago that I'm not going to go ahead and live with this unforgiving spirit and live with this chip on my shoulder. I just decided that no matter what, I've gone to people that to this day can't stand me. And I don't know why. I'm such a lovable guy. But listen to me. But I have. I said, listen, brother, sister, whoever it may be, I just want you to know I love you and I forgive you. Oh, well, you know, I should be the, you know, you don't forgive me, you know, and so that came that way. But listen, I'd have no ill will towards you. Sometimes it's dead silence for the rest of our whatever. But you know what? It's a pretty happy way to live. You know, these people, you know what? They were plugged into some right source. They were plugged into prayer. But you know what? Never are you closer to God than when you pray. You think about that. Do you think about, and I'm going to back to prayer for just a moment, but do you think about, just think about who it is that you're talking to? It's not just Joe Schmo. I mean, this is God. This is the King of Kings. This is the one that breathed this world into existence. This is the one that created you. This is the one that knows all about you. This is the one that goes through your life with you. I mean, ups and downs, he's there with you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. You know, you just think about the person, the one who you are talking to, and you pray, God Almighty. They were plugged into the right source. They were plugged into the right source of passion. They loved one another. You know, that's why so many great things were happening in the church. They loved one another. They had a compassion for others and souls. And when a brother was down, you know what? The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And as I alluded to a moment ago, instead of kicking them when they're down, they went to that brother. I can see them. They went to that brother and say, hey, they put their arm around him and said, I'll pray for you. Let me pray with you. They didn't have that judgmental, critical spirit. Well, you know, let me tell you why you're there, brother. Just like Joseph's friends. Remember his friends? You know, Joseph, you know why this happened to you? Because you're not right with God. You know, that's bad attitude. But we need to love one another. They had love. Then number three, we need to plug in to the power of proclamation. In other words, they just told everybody around them about Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And while the early church was marked with prayer and they were marked with love, they also were marked with just telling people about Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do today. Go ye into all the world. We have that same message to go ahead and give. We have the truth to go ahead and give. That's why it's so important. I believe our time is short. I believe one of these days, Jesus is going to come through them clouds, if you will, and we're going to be forever with him in heaven. Look forward to that day. I believe it's going to be soon. And that's why right now, it's time to roll up your sleeves. It's time to get busy. And it's time to go ahead and be praying for that lost friend. It's time to be praying for that lost relative. It's time to be praying. It's time to get out and do some door knocking. It's time to grab a hold of a handful of tracts and telling people about Jesus. Hey, it's time to go ahead and proclaim the gospel, which we have been commanded to do, to go ye into all the world and preach a gospel to every creature. They carried the gospel to the world that desperately needed it. And if it desperately needed it then, how much more it needs it now? Boy, it needs it now. Our world needs it still today. We need to be faithful. We are to go into all the world. You know what? I can't go to where Courtney Godso is. That's why I give to Faith Promise Missions. Be faithful to your faith promise. That's how we reach the world. I wish I could go to the Philippines, but that's not God's calling on my life. But you know what? I could help a missionary go. I can go ahead and help the Mansfields there in England, if you will. I can go ahead and help Brother Elliot with his fairs and different things like that. I can go ahead and help church planter Brother Ross down there in New Bedford. You know what? Why? Because I can go ahead and give them a little bit of money. My faith promise is so important to reach the world. But yeah, hey, we are called to reach the world. But we also need to reach our backyard too. But we got people dying and going to hell all around us. And just like they had the same command there in the book of Acts, you know, they were plugged into the source of prayer. They were plugged into the source of passion. They loved one another, but they also loved the world so much that, man, they just, everybody they told, not just inside the church where they preach it, they got outside the walls and they preached the gospel to every creature. You see James and John and the disciples and the apostles and the church members just going down the streets of Jerusalem and passing out tracts or whatever they had at that time, just telling people about Jesus. You know what? Listen to me. We're called to do the same thing. You want power? Go tell others about Jesus Christ. You want power? You be a powerful witness. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. For the Bible needs not, the church needs not only to be marked by love and prayer, but we need to be marked by having a burden for the lost all around us. Let me ask you a question. Who's on your mind right now that's not saved? Just like that. Who? Then what are you doing, Christian? Listen to me. Every single one of us, under the sound of my voice this morning, we have the truth in our hands, do we not? We have it. then what are we doing if we have the truth? We have the plan. Then what are we doing to try to get the truth that was given to you to somebody else? Have you prayed for that person? I'm talking about that person that just came to your mind. You prayed for that lost mom, that lost dad? You prayed for that lost teacher? You prayed for that lost coworker? You prayed for that lost relative, acquaintance? What have you done? You've got the truth in your hand this morning. What have you done to go ahead and transfer that truth to the heart of somebody else? By the way, listen to me. We're commanded to do that. You know, boy, there's nothing more exciting when people get saved, amen? You know how we rejoice when we read off maybe names from kids from VBS or, just a few weeks ago had a young man come to the altar, got saved, and different things. Boy, you know, we rejoice in that. You know, something's wrong with one's Christianity and say, oh, yeah, they got saved. No. Man, it's exciting when somebody gets saved. It's exciting when that bus kid gets saved. It's exciting when that teenager gets saved. It's exciting when that mama or that daddy or that whole family gets saved. That is exciting, or it should excite you. Boy, there's a sense of revival when people get saved, or should be a sense of revival in your heart when someone gets saved. Well, you ought to rejoice when someone gets saved and then follows the Lord in believer's baptism. I love it. You know what? Generally, when I bring them up out of the water, amen. I love to hear the amens. You know, that's exciting. That's exciting when people are being reached. That's exciting when we can proclaim the gospel, and the gospel is still working in the hearts of people. Let me just stop and say this. The gospel still works. Still works. People still being saved. Don't listen to this that you got, you know, it just doesn't work anymore. You know what? You buy into that, it won't be long before you're just going to be sitting in your nice little comfy couch and doing nothing because you bought into the, nobody wants to hear. No, listen to me. Somebody still wants to hear. I was amazed at the crowd of kids. Looks like the kids just kept coming in off the bus this morning. Some of them kids still want it. That just told me that, man, there's a bunch of kids. You know what? Someone's negative. Oh, they came because they're getting whatever the promotion is. Whatever. But let me tell you something. I'm going to just tell you what the majority of them hearts want, them kids. They want to be loved. They want to come to a church that loves them, that has a passion for people. They want to come to a church that's been praying for them. I hope as a Sunday school teacher, you've been praying for them. I've been praying for these kids. They want to come be loved, and they want to come and be taught about Jesus Christ. Listen to me, it still works. It still works. Excitement was taking place here. Why? Because they were plugged into prayer. You want some exciting things to happen? You know what? Boy, there's nothing more exciting when you've been praying for something and God answers a prayer. I mean, you just want to, woo! You know, I've been there. But when my wife, when the doctor said that she was cancer-free, let me tell you something. I didn't just, well, glory to God. No, I mean, I had a spell. That boy, people all over the world was praying for my wife. And now, you know, she's almost 6 years cancer-free, seven, going on 7 years cancer-free. It's exciting. I mean, it's exciting. God is still answering prayer. But you get excited when you have that need, that thing you've been praying for. Maybe that person got saved in your life, whatever the case may be. Boy, that ought to excite you. Hey, you know, this church was marked by prayer. They had a passion for people. And they got the gospel to everybody they saw. You know, listen, there's people all around you. You're going to meet people tomorrow, today, that I won't meet. The way it is. You've got your own little world that you live in. Like Brother Carl Hatch, he had that deep voice. He'd been here several times, I know. Everywhere he went. I mean, he'd have tracks everywhere he went. Here. Take time, you know, and then he had some of the great soul-winning experiences just by handing out a track. And he'd leave them in places, and I leave them in places and so forth, and rest areas, different things. I'll go ahead and leave. I love leaving the little 100% shore trash that kind of stands out, and I'll leave them, in the bathrooms at rest areas, different things and so forth. Let me just say this. You never know. You never know. You never know who might have picked up that track in that rest area and said, huh, that's interesting. 100% sure. What about what? You just never know. It's exciting when people get saved. It's exciting when lives are transformed for the cause of Christ. It's exciting when prayers are answered. It's exciting to see what God is doing. Let me ask you a question. How's your prayer life? How's your love life? I'm not talking about just you and your wife, or you and your husband, but other people. Well, your testimony will shine so much brighter if you have a love for people, a genuine love for people. And how's your soul winning life? What have you done lately to get the gospel out? Who have you witnessed to lately? Who have you passed the track out lately? This church here, they were marked, they were excited, they were an excited church simply because of prayer, passion, and the proclamation of the gospel. You want excitement? And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing. I couldn't have got more excited than Thursday night, Brother Ron. I mean, I still, even this morning, every morning since I got back, I still go back to that. The power of God fell in such a way, and I think every night it happened that way. I was only up there Tuesday and Thursday, but Thursday night, I tell you what, it was amazing. It was amazing. And by the way, it wasn't just emotion. It was real. I wish I could take a picture. I just wish you had a little glimpse of what I experienced. Young people. I'm talking about this because it excites me. That young people was on the altar, getting their heart right with God, weeping, crying, youth groups together, people going to each other, apologizing, and then the invitation would settle down a little bit, just a little bit. People would still be praying. Then another whole group, another girl would go over to another girl and say, "Hey, let's go forward and pray." It was amazing. 2 hours of that. I could have gone with 3 hours. I could have gone with 4 hours. It's amazing. I say that because it was exciting. Serving God is exciting. Getting the gospel to these young people is exciting. Seeing people saved is exciting. But let me ask you a question. Is it exciting to you? So easy. Listen to me. It's so easy. I know. Kind of get in that rut of the same old, same old. Be careful of that. How's your prayer life? How's your love life? How is your soul winning life? Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior. I might be talking to someone on the sound of my voice. You know in your heart that you don't know Jesus as Savior. I don't know who you are. I'm not trying to get you to doubt. That's the last thing I want to do. But maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior. You can't have that thrill and that excitement that the preacher just preached about simply because there's that void in your heart. You don't know Him. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus. Boy, why don't you make today the day of salvation? Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. You can walk down an aisle if you don't know Jesus. You can walk down an aisle in just a moment. You shake my hand and say, "Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. But I want someone to show me from the Word of God how he can be saved." And we will have someone show you from the Bible. Again, I say this, not a religion. It's a relationship. It's not about Catholicism. It's not even about Baptists. It's not about a man. It's about the man, Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as Savior, but you ought to settle that today. Christian, I ask you this question again. How's your prayer life? If you were to walk in, it might have been that you used to have that corner, that place where you read your Bible and you prayed. And maybe if you walked into that place, you'd have to maybe get the pledge out a little bit and do a little dusting because it's been a while. And because it's been a while, listen to me, it shows eventually. Because it's been a while, you know, things just, you kind of wonder, why is it that things just aren't clicking along? Let me just ask you a question. Maybe God's trying to show you something, but let me ask you a question. Maybe God's trying to bring you back to the prayer closet. How's your soul winning? Listen to me, it doesn't matter who we are. We're commanded. We are commanded to tell people about Jesus Christ. Listen to me, there's a world dying going to hell. Thank God someone went ahead and showed you the truth. Amen? Let's go tell somebody else. How's your love life? Love for one another. You know, it ought not be that in a church like ours, I love this church and I love the spirit of this church, but I haven't seen it here, to my knowledge, but I've been around, like I said, a while. People walk in, one will go ahead and look, get way over here. I've seen it. I mean, you know, you sit on the platforms like I used to and stuff. You don't want to think it's hilarious, but it's just, you just know. And they get just as far over as possible. And I don't think that's the way it is here. I don't think so. I don't think Joe's over there because he doesn't like Ron. I don't believe that, okay? All right? And I say that. I love these guys. They know that. But listen to me. It shouldn't be that way. You know, there really should be that. Yes, you got offended. Yes, you got hurt. Yes, it wasn't fair. It wasn't right. But why don't you be the big Christian and say, you know what? I'm not gonna live this way. Why don't you go to that brother or that sister, that Christian? You know what? You might be surprised what may happen if somebody would just take the leadership in that situation, if there's a situation. You say, well, I don't think it's gonna work. They're not gonna like me back. How do you know that? Why don't you be the, you know, listen, I'm talking about relationship for just a moment. But why don't you be the big Christian and say, you know what? First of all, it's right anyways for you to go ahead and try. But you just never know. You both get together and you start, man, I'm sorry. And you maybe a little weep or whatever, and you pray together and your hearts might be knitted closer than it ever has been before. I've seen that happen too. How's your love life? How do you love life with God? You know, God wants to hear I love you from you too. We ought to tell God the very fact that he so loved us, it wouldn't hurt us to tell him every day, God, I love you. We find it easy to tell everybody else, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, and should tell your husband, wife that. I understand, you should tell her and him that. Find it easy to tell others. Let's talk about your love life, your Christian love. When was the last time, God, I love you? Boy, you know what? There may be some under the sound of my voice. You need that passion again. You need that drive again. You need that Holy Spirit to really work. He's living inside you, but, you know, he's not working simply because you kind of quenched him and you pushed him away and he's trying to cut things away, but you say, no, no, no. You know, it's time to just let the Holy Spirit of God do whatever it is in your heart and yield to him so you can have that passion, that joy, that fervor to see people saved, that prayer life back. You know, when you follow leadership in your life, you'll gain these things back. You'll have a burden for the lost. You'll have that prayer life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God. We've gone far enough here, but Lord, just try to take these group of people I care so deeply about. I pray that we would go ahead and allow you to work in our hearts. I pray, God, that if there's some saved individual under the sound of my voice and they know their heart is not in tune with thee, they know there's maybe some areas that you're exposing this morning that needs to be taken care of. I pray we wouldn't push it away. I pray today they'd go ahead and take care of the business that you're so trying to work in their life right now. I pray they would yield to your spirit, your will. I pray, Lord, maybe there's some